Welcome to Raising Connections. I'm your host, Rayshan Mayer. This is the program where we talk about your critters, companions, commerce, and agriculture, and all of the connections between them. This morning, as always, we have a fun and interesting guest, and I have served on many a committee with this person. Welcome, Peggy.
Good morning to you.
Peggy, you have been on many committees. You are based out of the Lisbon area. What is your full name, and what kind of committees do you serve on?
Well, my full name is Margaret Ellen Schultz, but nobody would know me by that name. I'm Peggy.
And you've been around events. You were almost born. It's almost volunteer event organization royalty. What is it that your mother organized, and how did you grow up in this?
When I was very young, my parents wanted to make sure that we had appropriate activities. And so my mom, with two other people, started the Maryland Western Horse Association. We just do horse showing. We don't do trail riding or any of those other things, but it's just a horse showing club that's been in place for about 60 years now. So we're very proud that we've been able to maintain through the hard times as well as the good times. It took a lot of energy on her part to get volunteers, and I guess I just inherited that mentality.
My daughter grew up around a lot of volunteer things, and she says, Mom, I now know what osmosis really means.
Right. Good thought.
I've been steeped in it. The Maryland Western Horse Association is not a 4-H group. It is not an FFA. It is something completely independent.
Right. It's an open horse show for kids who did not grow up in 4-H or one of those other organizations. And we have classes for babies all the way through adults. So it's an open horse show club.
I like that. Volunteers are one thing that each event needs. And with this growing up and being steeped in volunteerism, do you think it's affected your mindset in a positive way or a negative way?
Can I say both?
How do you think that's affected your performance and your ability to organize events and work with volunteers?
Well, I think, especially now that I'm retired, that I have more time to volunteer and I see the value of it. And I just think it's a really positive thing, but you have to figure out what kind of energy you're looking for. You're looking for initiation energy or you're looking for maintenance energy?
Oh, they're very different.
Yes, they are very different. And I see them both and I get real excited because I have more initiation energy and I'm not sure that's where that came from, but it seems like once you get involved with the group, like the Fair Board or the Maryland Western Horse Association or the Horse Parade, you just stay forever. So the maintenance, even though it's not your favorite part of volunteering, you find out you have to do that too.
You talked about a couple organizations there. How many organizations do you volunteer in?
Pretty much just those three now. They take up a great deal of my time.
You talked about the Maryland Western Horse Association.
Right.
What are the other three that you mentioned?
The Fair Board for the Howard County Fair. I've been on the Fair Board 30-some years, so you can see that beyond the initiation energy, there's been some maintenance energy being spent there. And then the third big thing that takes up a lot of my time is the Christmas Horse and Tractor Parade. It has more three or four times since I've been involved with it, but it is still a big Christmas event here in this community.
That's one of my favorites. I think the official name on the website now is the Great Lisbon Farmers and Hunters Feed the Hungry Parade.
Oh, wow.
That's a mouthful, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I like the Lisbon Christmas Parade. How do you get involved? Do you just hear the sucking sound? Do you show up at a meeting? Our area has changed a lot.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Many areas are having some of the same issues. People are moving, things are changing. Family groups who were in areas for many, many generations, they're starting to move around and continuing to move around. They move in, they move out, they move back. They bring in different values, different experiences from where they've lived. How do you get involved in a volunteer organization? Because that's one of the questions I often get. If we're new to the area, we don't know how to get involved.
Well, by nature, I'm a road runner, so I go out in the morning for coffee and listen to what the morning coffee people are saying. And I used to come over here to the gas station with Lambert Sissel, and I was listening to his ideas about a horse parade. And when they excite me, I just kind of say, I'll help with that. I like that. So I'm not sure what that connection is, but I look for volunteer opportunities around here.
So you put yourself out there.
Yeah.
Because you are the great person. You are the person to ask these questions. You see your eye roll.
Yeah, right.
But she knows she's the right one to answer these questions. When I first moved into this area, I come from an area that looks very similar to the Lisbon, Mount Airy area 30 years ago. And it was really intimidating. It's really hard to intimidate me. But I can be intimidated when I walk in and everybody knows everybody. Do you just walk up and go, hi, how are you?
Well,
how do you kind of grease those wheels going in?
Yeah, that's a real tough one, Ray-Chan, because I've never moved. You know, I'm 83 years old, and I've lived within 25 miles of the seat I'm sitting in all my life. So I don't have those kind of problems at the beginning. You know, I usually go to a meeting where I know somebody. But if you could just know that you like either the energy that you see there, or even one person, or if you like horses and you hear, horse parade. That's what turned me on, because it was a horse parade the first year. It was all horses.
600 of them.
Yeah. So you just look for something that grabs you. And I guess you have to be brave and say, here I am and I'm willing. Because a lot of times I'll see people that'll come to meetings and you're wondering, like, why are they here? Because they're not contributing. And it might be that fear of entering that group and presenting an idea that you think might not be popular or something. So I think that is a real challenge for people, especially with the mobility of our population lately.
One of the things that I found that helped me was I would go, and it's hard for me to hide in a corner. I'm almost 6 foot, and I've got, at this point, it used to be red hair, and now it's kind of white hair. And so I usually have trouble hiding in a corner.
And you're very vocal.
A little bit vocal.
Yes.
A little bit. That's my dad's fault. So one of the things that I found helped was going in early. Mm-hmm. I found if I brought the donuts in, if I did something, if I started giving before everybody came in, it helped grease the wheels. And it gave me a place to go, okay, this is my reason for being here. And as I've been in committees and watched new people come in, the joke always comes up, oh, maybe we should bring in some dinner. It's amazing how food makes things easier.
Oh, you are absolutely right. You bring the donuts and you're the center of attention. Yep.
It definitely just kind of helps get things going. It helps get your name out there. Ironically, one of the things I often hear is if you have kids, then you have a group built in that you can move through. But if you come in before you have kids or after you have kids, dogs or horses get you into different areas.
That is absolutely true, because they say, like, even if you go to church or your children are in school, those are two groups that you automatically belong to.
Yes.
And so you can be braver about introducing yourself and doing things because you already belong, because you do have children or you do go to church.
I was sitting at the flower shop, because, you know, you hang out at the gas station, I hang out at the flower shop.
Yeah, says something about our personalities.
You know? One of the things I heard was the knitting clubs, because that's where the introverts go. The crafts, the scrapbook clubs. I guess the extroverts get coffee and we talk, and the introverts go to the crafty, dewy things.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't have to talk, they can do things and not make eye contact. Just different ways of going about different things.
But when you're talking about joining a group, a personal experience I have is I'm old enough to go down to the senior center, and quite often I've thought, I'd like to be on that board for the senior center. I'd like to have more input rather than just go and do my yoga and listen to my workshops and whatever I do. But I never do it. And if somebody had recognized that, because I stand around a little bit and ask some questions, I might have volunteered for that. So the person who's looking for the volunteers has to keep their eyes open too and say, wow, she's here a lot. Maybe I'll sit down and talk to her and invite her. So that's one thing, as somebody who is on a lot of committees and groups, watch for somebody who seems a little bit interested.
So that's a really good thing. Off air, we had been talking about when you sit down at a dinner and you have a different conversation with somebody.
Right.
Back to the food thing, you get to know them a little bit better.
Right.
One of the things I enjoy about doing podcasting is bringing the guests in and having conversation, because you get to know those people a little bit differently. Do you think it's a skill set for someone on a board to be able to recruit?
Yes, I do.
Have your radar on or your antenna up. You get your rabbit ears adjusted for those people who are hovering in the corners.
Right,
and
exactly.
And bring them in.
Yeah.
Because they may not know how to bring themselves in. That's a really good point. See, I knew you had all the answers. Where do you find the people today that are your volunteers?
That is a tough one, because I think all of us that are in groups like this, meaning a group that is run and continues through the energy of volunteers, we don't have any money flow, no county money, no anything like that. It's just personal interest. It's hard to find them and harder to keep them. So I think what I do is look for somebody, like I said, who's hanging in the corners and who has maybe this skill set I need, because a lot of times you'll encourage somebody to volunteer and to work with you, but you're missing their skill set and they're really uncomfortable, so they don't come back. I think that's one thing you need to do, is find out what you need and trying to find people that do that. But it's a hard job out there getting volunteers. You know, I think the economy doesn't support people volunteering, because a lot of people are working two jobs already and maintaining, and they don't have any energy to volunteer. So I think it's constant. It's not like I've got my set of volunteers. You know, I went to a workshop once on starting your own business, and they say even when you're at your height, you're making more money, you're producing more of whatever the product is, you should be spending at least 25% of your time advertising. And I think it's the same thing with volunteers. You can't sit back and say, well, you know, we're doing okay, we have all the people we need. You have to always have your radar and say, maybe I could include this person in this group.
In our area, it's like many other areas. I don't think that we're unique. Do you find that the population of people who have free time has changed? Or do you think that the free time is being spent on me items versus community items?
The second part, I think, and that isn't to damn or to criticize the people that aren't out there volunteering, but I've already mentioned my age, and I came up in a different time than people who are 50 or whatever now. And I don't think that the volunteering is as popular, seems as important, you know, giving to the community, because you're so busy raising your kids and getting your new house and buying your new cars, you know, kind of like keeping up with the Joneses. We're a very affluent area around here, and that has both its positives and negatives. And I think living around here takes a lot of people time, and that doesn't include the volunteering, it's just living.
We've been talking with Peggy Schultz about volunteerism and organizing events. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 80-20 rule. Join me, Rayshan Mayer, from Mariah Bellmanner Kennel, for our new adventure, Living Life Tails Up podcast, combining everyday life with what goes on at the kennel and farm, a bit of humor, some ideas, and some positive happy bubbles. We're living tails up, nose down, and staying on track. We hope to see you on Living Life Tails Up for 5 to 10 minutes worth of happy, happy bubbles shooting out there in the atmosphere. See you soon.